I think it's a blessing and a curse, to be honest. I have moments sometimes where I think this is going to do me out of a job in 5 years' time.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals. Each week, we discover the trailblazers and innovators who are shaping the future of garden care in the UK. So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
So, welcome back to another episode of The Underground. And on this week's show, we're delighted to welcome along Kimberly Hornby-George, the owner and founder of Hornby-George PR Agency. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Kimberly. Hello. So can you explain a bit about what a PR agency does? It's not just about crisis management, is it?
It is not. And I'm very, very pleased to report it is not just about crisis management, because that is not the most fun part of our job. And there are agencies that specialise in that, and fair play to those people. But it's that's not wholly what we do. So our PR agency is about all aspects of communication, and largely that's based around reputation management through media relations. Mm-hmm. So the way we work with clients, it's both internal and external comms as well. So crisis management absolutely is an element of that, but of course that it's far, far more broad brush. There are sort of toolbox that we look upon is much bigger than just that. So, you've got your media relations where you're building those relationships and communities with your supporting media, whether that's trade or consumer, whatever that might be. You've got your copywriting needs as well. So copywriting could be everything from brochures through to press releases, speeches. It could be all aspects of that in there. We do event support as well. So whether that is running events, setting up events for people, or support if they're attending events, generally exhibitions, but it could be awards and things such as that. We do networking and industry monitoring as well. So over time, we've built an incredibly strong black book of contacts. So that's something that we can share with our clients. We also look at what else is going on in the industry. Where are our clients sitting within there? Where are gaps? Where could they move into? Competitor analysis, bits and pieces along those lines. So it's all those kind of things that clients would love to be able to do themselves, but they can't. They just don't have the resource or the knowledge or the tools to do that. Then we obviously do things along marketing support and advertising management as well. So it is really, really, really broad brush. It means every single client is dealt with differently, and it means every single day is different to the one before and the one that's going to come after it, which keeps it pretty interesting, I have to say.
So apart from obviously the variety, what led you to start your own PR agency?
Well, good question. I've been doing this for a long time, so this is the only job I've ever had. As most of us do, we fall into these jobs sort of post-university. You kind of get that first. I always knew I wanted to do PR, so I worked at PR agencies when I was at university.
Right.
Came out, looked at getting some roles. I originally started actually in property PR.
Okay.
I lasted about 6 months because I despised it. It was not a bag. It was very tough. I worked in Birmingham. I was very city centre. Incredible business, just not for me. It just wasn't the right fit. So I just happened to fall into the role that I had, which has now become the role that I'm still doing 20 years later. It's just I'd been working with a business partner for a long time, and it just this year was the year where I sort of said, this is my time to create that agency that I want to create in my vision, with my team, and just take it in a new direction. So Hornby-George is actually 6 months old. We're still baby. But before that, in our previous version, we had been 10 years in that, and then whatever the remainder is in that. So, I've been in one version or another, I've basically been doing the same job.
Right.
But, Hornby-George is very much my baby to drive forward. So it's very exciting.
Good.
Right.
Wonderful.
And just to clarify, PR stands for public relations. It doesn't stand for press release. Is that right?
Technically it also does, but yes, public relations. Yeah. So, and to kind of give that a description that people, because for a very, very long time, my dad thought I was a personal assistant. And we had a very comical conversation where I had to explain to him that's definitely not what I do for a living,
no.
Father. So But public relations is about promoting whether it's people, businesses, brands, services, all of through their necessary media.
Yeah.
And that's purely what our job is focused in on. So it aligns with a lot of marketing work, etc. But public relations is a standalone. That's what we're here to do.
Right. Okay, excellent. And so what sectors are they that you actually work in? Do you focus on particular sectors?
Yeah, we do. It's been a natural progression over the years. So once upon a time, we used to be automotive and gardening.
Okay.
But those two things don't necessarily make a huge amount of sense sat next to each other.
Right.
And my love has always been for the gardening industry. So okay. We now cover what we call garden, home, leisure and lifestyle.
Right.
So within that, it can be absolutely the core gardening stuff, whether that's garden retail or the horticultural side of things, outdoor living. We've done candles, we've done blankets, we've done home brands, we've done pet. So everything that kind of falls under that remit of garden, home, leisure and lifestyle. But it's where our strength is. You know, when you've been in an industry for 20 years, you make friends and you build fantastic relationships. And it's been such an enjoyable industry to be part of. And I think if I'd gone back to myself, you know, my 16-year-old self, my 15-year-old self, and said, oh, you're going to end up in sort of the garden sector, I would have, you know, it doesn't sound that glamorous on paper. but it's a great industry. The people are amazing. The story's amazing. What people are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It's just... And you see people try and leave and you do these big goodbyes to people. And then 2 weeks later, they turn up at, you know, just a different business within the same sector because you can't leave. And I think that says a lot. And, you know, even my team, for instance, they've all been in this same marketplace for such a long time. Right. You know, they've been editors and they've worked within trade organisations and things. But all of us have very much stayed within the sector. Right. So it's just...
Interesting.
It's a love. We can't help it.
We get that from nearly everybody we talk to on the podcast. Why are you still in this industry? What keeps you going? And people just seem to love it. They really do. And can't, as you said, can't leave. Dragging them out, kicking and screaming.
Exactly.
You mentioned earlier there that there's a natural relationship between PR and marketing. So can you just describe that relationship and how you see that working best?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, and we've seen it, we've had people ring up and say, we're looking for PR support. And you go in and you sort of talk about what their immediate needs are and what's, you know, what prompted them to make that original phone call. And then you start talking to them about what your marketing, you know, plans and strategies, etc. And I think a lot of people don't realise that the two things absolutely work alongside them. And indeed, it's not even just marketing and PR. It's about, so one of the questions I always ask people is, you know, what's the long-term vision for the business? Where are you stood right now? Where do you want to be in six months' time, 12 months' time? Because PR has to feed into all aspects of that business growth plan. So with marketing, obviously, you know, those two things, a lot of the time those two things sit, PR and marketing sit in the same job role. So you quite often see, you know, PR and marketing directors, etc. But if a lot of the marketing departments aren't taking on the PR work, and that's why we've been brought in as an outsourced agency, I have to make sure that everything we are doing is absolutely aligning with what those guys are doing. You can't just be two people in the same room talking about different things at different times because it muddies your own messaging. Mm-hmm. So we always try and make sure that we absolutely align ourselves with what those marketing needs are. So whether that's advertising, point of sale, whether it's brochures when they launch, etc., websites, whatever that might be, we will always try and support that with PR. So whether it's a PR announcement to support something new that's been brought into market, or if we're talking about particular products at different times of year, brand seasonality, all of that. So they absolutely have to work hand in hand. But I think it's really important because we do sometimes see this where I think marketing people think that we are trying to muscle in on their job, right. And it absolutely isn't. It's just here about collaboration. So we're really lucky with the client retention that we have because some of the clients I've had my entire career.
Right.
It's been really nice in that sense that even as an outsource agency, we've kind of been incorporated into those businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's where we can really see how well perfectly marketing, PR, and that sort of overall business strategy all line up together. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask those questions. That's the thing. Yeah. And we're pretty good at asking those questions about where are we now? Where do we want to go?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of leads me on a little bit to what advice would you give a business to be prepared before they commission a PR agency?
It's a good question. I think a lot of people think they should have PR, but they don't necessarily know what PR is or how it works or how it functions. Mm-hmm. Then you have the second school of people who are absolutely convinced they know what PR is, and they could do it with their eyes closed tomorrow if they wanted to. But I think before you appoint a PR agency, it's about understanding, are you doing it as a needs must? Are you doing it because you just think the business is growing and we need it, but you don't truly understand what it is? And do you understand what PR is and how you can measure successful PR as well? Mm. You know, we quite often sort of have clients saying, well, we're not seeing an uplift in sales. And I was, well, that's fine, but did you take your sales force off the road? Because if you've got a sales force on the road and we're also promoting it with PR, I can't tell you which of those conversations converted.
Yep.
So it's definitely more of an understanding around how PR is measured as successful or non-successful in some cases. Yeah. We don't always do it right. Largely we do. But yeah, that would probably be the biggest thing. And also when appointing an outsource agency as well, it's about having an understanding about being prepared to speak to us and share insight and information. Because obviously everything that you tell us is going to be completely confidential, but often things will happen and we just won't know about them because the client will go, well, we didn't know that would be a good PR story. And it's that thing of, you've appointed us, us to figure out what's a good PR story. So you need to be talking to us. Right. You know, we don't. And sometimes it's really hard for clients to really understand what that actually means. But we're not going to go off and just write loads of press releases without your approval. We're not going to go and share this information. Obviously, everything is confidential. But in order for us to be truly strategic, we kind of need to understand all of the background as well. And sometimes that can be a little bit uncomfortable for people who are just coming into the world of PR, where they think, are we revealing all of our secrets?
I suppose that especially, would you say, goes with companies that have been around a long, long time. Like, as you said, no one leaves horticultural industry. So there are some companies that have been in the family for years and years. And it must be quite hard for them to suddenly, we need PR.
Yeah, exactly. And not even just the really established ones. Sometimes it's the newbies as well. You know, they're so nervous as kind of revealing too much. You know, but like I say, it's nothing we ever do goes out without internal approval and the client approval. So they absolutely control that narrative before it even goes out the door. But like I say, quite often they go, well, I didn't really realise that was a PR-able story. I sort of sat there going,
yes. You know,
it's like, guys, come on, this could be the most amazing PR story we could put out. So it's just that. I think it's just being prepared to have that two-way dialogue is really, really important. And trust your PR agencies. They're not your enemy. Trust me, we're here to help.
Of course.
So just going back to something you said there, Kimberly, about measurable results. And how would you go about like being able to track ROI for the PR stuff, because it's not really necessarily always a tangible thing, is it?
No, it isn't. And that can cause some quite uncomfortable conversations at times. So we always try and make sure that we are very open with our clients at the beginning of any kind of campaign. So quite often we'll ask them to set as KPIs, what do you perceive to be a successful PR campaign, whether it's, I don't know, X amount of coverage, you know, we've got key magazines we absolutely have to be in. But for some people, it is purely get as much coverage as we possibly can get, wherever we can get that. But there are a number of different metrics in there. Once upon a time, it used to be the very old school method of equivalent advertising value. Mm-hmm. Where we'd measure out how much space that article would take up on the page and if I brought it as an advert. And thankfully, we've moved away from that. I mean, it's nigh on impossible to measure with a lot of the online coverage anyway. But we look at things such as tone, circulation, shares across social platforms, domain authority. There's so many different metrics, and we always present those to clients and say, which of these are going to be your measure of success? What do you expect us to achieve in this campaign? And then those are the parameters that we work with. Of course, we'll always try and get more, but at least if we understand what the absolute minimum is, it enables us to build a strategy off the back of that.
So what are the biggest do's and don'ts from a PR perspective? I mean, you've mentioned about not sharing enough information, but are there any real clangers that people can do?
It's an interesting one. Many moons ago, I did a course with the Chartered Institute of Public Relations. And I always remember, and I bring this up so many times to clients, I remember they gave the analogy of, imagine going to a party and Brad Pitt is there, or whoever your celeb crush is in that room, and you just think, that is amazing, I'm so excited, I can't believe I'm here. And you go and speak to them, I'll use Brad Pitt as an example, and all night Brad Pitt just stands there going, I'm Brad Pitt, I'm Brad Pitt, I'm amazing, I'm great. After a while, you're going to want to walk off and find somebody else to speak to. And for me, that analogy of, there's no point just talking about yourself and saying how great you are all the time, because everyone's going to turn off eventually. So you have to give it some context. You have to give yourself a story. You have to give people a reason to want to stay at that party next to you and listen to what you've got to say. So I would say, it sounds like a really, really obvious thing to say when looking at PR content, but it's just about, don't be boring. And I know that sounds really, really simplistic, but I will explain it. You can't just say, we're a business and we exist. Great. Who cares? And, you know, next. Those are the kind of questions. So if you're going to put PR out into the marketplace, what's your call to action? Why should I read beyond the first couple of lines? So that's why it's always believed that in PR, doesn't matter how long your press release is, say everything you need to say in the first paragraph.
Right.
Because if they're not reading beyond that, at least they've kind of got the gist of it. But so it's about giving things context. You know, it's about, if you've got a new product, great, but what is that new product? How has it been brought to market? Why has it been brought to market? You know, what's your R&D? What's the story behind it? How does it fit into trends? If I'm a retailer, why would I buy it? Or if I'm an end user, why would I buy that product? So it's just really, really important to keep, like I say, adding that context, giving it interest, and also trying to avoid too much repetition throughout your PR, because you can't just keep saying every 2-3 weeks, we've got a product. You know, you have to keep building that story. Yeah. I think sometimes that can be what can be quite hard. And I think some businesses don't really recognize how to move that story forwards. Mm-hmm. But it's about looking at the bigger picture and breaking things down into individual strands. So whether it's people news, business news, product news, innovation, yeah, all of it. And actually, once you start breaking it down, you realize you've actually got plenty of stories. It's just about, how do you space them and how do you create that journey for the reader? And I think that's probably the biggest challenge and thing that we quite often don't see necessarily always successfully implemented. But yeah, I mean, from a do perspective, do PR. It's only going to work for you. You know, whether you don't 100% get it effective, if there is a reason for doing PR, just do it. Just, you know, give it a try. Get your messages out there. Because ultimately, nobody else is going to be your cheerleader. Yeah. You only have it to cheerlead. So I just say to anybody, if you're thinking about doing it, just give it a try. Trust me, you can start tweaking things as you move forward, but it's better to have something out in the marketplace than it is to say nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I can see that. And I think what you were saying there about it being quite daunting for a company to think about, I've got to come up with something new every week to say, you know, but we don't have that many story. I've been in the office all week. I haven't done anything, you know, or whatever it is. So I can imagine what you were saying there about breaking it down into the different strands is really quite helpful for people to see that actually one action or whatever could be translated into quite a few different stories and articles and a different perspective take on that. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely say on that as well, I think, you know, PR doesn't have to be regimented. So it's not, we have to put something out on the first of every month. You know, it absolutely doesn't have to be that. It's really important, if you've got a key event and things, to make sure that you consider that journey to the event, at the event, and post event as well. So that's a really obvious way of thinking about that journey. But throughout the rest of the year, it doesn't have to be really, really constant. It just has to be quite consistent. And if you, like I say, if you break those things down into those different strands of the business, then it's actually much easier to identify different stories, but it's also very important to remember what you have said and do you need to track back to that and do a follow-up piece, etc. And once you kind of start seeing that, and the best way of doing this is visualizing this into a PR plan of some description,
right.
You know, whether it's a flow chart or an Excel document, whatever you think that might be, visualizing that is will help hugely for anybody sort of kick-starting on PR, definitely.
Right. So in order to do a good PR job, how important is it to have an in-depth knowledge of the sector? So do you make a distinction between knowledge of a business, so sort of the business of the sector, and the actual skills involved?
Yeah, a bit of both, actually, is the honest answer. And it really sort of falls down into, are you doing B2B or are you doing B2C?
Okay.
Right. So Hornby George, we do both. We do trade and consumer PR. I personally do both, and no disrespect to any of my clients that are watching this, where I do consumer PR for them because I love it just as much. But my sort of real passion is the trade side of things.
Right.
So for me, it's really important I understand my clients' businesses and where they fit within a marketplace and what's impacting that marketplace at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas on the consumer side of things, it's pretty essential to understand what's going on from the skill side of things. So yes, you can talk about product, but you need to be able to talk about product in the context of how the end user would be using that within their spaces.
Right.
So it's a bit of both. Like I say, it's definitely really, really important to understand the market, but it's also important to understand how those products are used, what their applications are, etc. Or else you end up with a very bland press release that says, here's a plant pot, it's green.
Yeah.
Not that exciting, is it?
So when you start working with a company, do you sort of get to understand their brand personality as well? So you can sort of take on their tone of voice and that side of things?
Yeah, we absolutely do. I try not to be too annoying, but yeah, my thing is always, I always desperately ask, can I please just have a day where I just shadow you all? I'd love to come and understand how it works and the scope and the scale and all those different aspects of businesses. I don't always get to do that, unfortunately, but yeah, it's incredibly important to understand, you know, who does this business believe themselves to be, because sometimes their perception isn't always the external perception as well. So so coming in and understanding all of those aspects of business, the scope of the business, you know, we don't need to know the finite details, you know, we don't need to know that, but understanding sort of their market position. And then, like I said, we do a lot of competitor analysis as well. So if you're sat here, where are your competitors sat? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
We try not to stay too focused on competitors on an ongoing basis. So of course, we keep an eye on them, but we try not to become obsessed with what they're doing and chase their tail the whole time. You do see a lot of that. You do genuinely see a lot of that in the marketplace where every single time a competitor puts something out, someone's back's put up and then they go and do a response and it becomes this whole thing. But no, we try and kind of keep our clients in their lane. They're doing what they do. Good to see what's going on in the wider marketplace. And like I say, and it's that journey of where are we stood now? Where do we want to be? And what's that journey we need to go on? So,
excellent. We're constantly being bombarded by PR messages. And do you find yourself sat there looking at those going, well, that's brilliant, and on the flip side, well, that's terrible. Why on earth did they do that?
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah, you can't help it. It's second nature. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, outside of our industry as well. But then we also retrospectively look at our own work. I mean, you know, I look back at some work from, you know, a couple of years back, what on earth was going through our mind that week? And that, you know, that's the thing, you know, PR, as great as PR as we are at PR, and we are, you know, as an agency, we're fantastic. It doesn't always land right. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes the best idea that you think is going to be, this is, you know, we're going to nail it, this is going to be incredible, for some reason just doesn't work. So it is really important to be constantly reassessing what we're doing, and we do that often. You know, we do it as we go through campaigns. We get, so, you know, it might be monthly we're catching up with the client and saying, is this working, is that not working? But you absolutely have to draw inspiration from, you know, every single thing that we're seeing out there, whether it's TV or magazines or just general campaigns. But yeah, of course we do. And we've got the group WhatsApp chat with the team where quite a lot of that gets shared.
Look at this one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, there's some amazing, even with our, in our industry, there's some amazing stuff that happens, really, really good stuff. People are constantly thinking outside the box and trying new things. I think we are probably, I'd like to see us innovate a little bit more from a PR perspective as an industry, because we've got some incredibly big players that, you know, are up here. They've got those big budgets to spend, you know, and they're doing incredible things, absolutely amazing. And I think a lot of people do stuff fantastically well, but I think there is still, compared to some sectors, certainly, we're still a little bit behind.
Do you have any campaigns that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I mean, we've just come off the back of a really strong Chelsea. So we represent Peterbilt's Roses. We only played on them very early this year. It's been a bit of a baptism of fire, but we had a great Chelsea with those guys. We did their big photo call with the two Peter presenters because we Peterbilt's did a RNLI Rose.
Yes, of course.
We brought Anthea Turner and she had her jacket on from the 90s and that's fantastic. We've got some amazing coverage with that. I mean, you know, we all have our favorite clients, so I don't want to name and shame
anyone. No, it's fine.
but no, I mean, I love I've been working on the Glee exhibition for 20 years, and the cycle of PR for an exhibition is different to anything else that we do. Right. So whilst we work with, you know, charities and trade associations and suppliers and people, and the exhibition cycle is always probably going to be, it's got a special place in my heart because, you know, it's without question the most stressful PR campaign to ever do, but it's that working towards something and, you know, it's tangible. We turn up to the NEC and we live at the NEC for a couple of days and we get totally absorbed in that bubble. Mm-hmm. And you see all of these people that you've been speaking to for months on end and you put faces to names, you catch up friends and colleagues. And
yeah,
it's just, I think there's something pretty magical about exhibition PR, I have to say. And I feel very, very lucky to have been doing Glee for such a long time because it's just a joy. It's not always a joy, not day to day. It is very stressful, but generally it is fantastic. I adore it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So you have such a big part to do with Glee. So how is it that you manage to stay on top of industry changes and trends? Because you really need to know your stuff if you're going to be so involved with events like Glee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that we've got such strong client retention really, really helps. And we've got such good relationships with our clients. You know, pretty much most of them are friends now. So, you know, is that constant dialogue with those guys and really open, honest dialogue as well, you know, if it's going good or bad, you know, we have those great catch-up conversations. But I think for us, Hornby George, we're really, really, really lucky actually, and I think we're quite unique in this fact, is the fact that we are really, really integrated into our market. So as I kind of sort of alluded to earlier, PR for a lot of people seems a necessary evil. So you sort of see the agencies turn up to shows and things and they're there and they're doing their job, whereas for us, we are, you know, we've been working with Glee for 20 years, we work with GEMA and the trade association, so we have access to their information. We work with the Green Fingers charity, which, as you know, is the charity of choice for our marketplace.
Absolutely.
So all of these different aspects of what we work on and all these brands that we work with as well, it's just that constant just involvement in those conversations and insight into what's happening. You know, if I didn't have those relationships with clients, they weren't honest and open with me, I don't, you know, I would struggle to understand what was going on. You'd have to obviously look at all your media source, which, you know, and we are very lucky because we have some great media source in this, you know, in this sector, you know, and quick to deliver that news as well. But you can't always just be sat online reading or looking at magazines. So it's just being out and about. And I think, and like I said, we feel very lucky to be so integrated into our marketplace.
Yes,
that's where we do our learning for sure.
Oh, wonderful. So how has the rise of social media platforms influenced the way you look at public relations communications?
Yeah, so, I mean, social's been around probably longer than most of us really appreciate. And again, a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this as well, social media is that sort of thing where you get to the end of the day and go, I need to do an Instagram post, or I need to put something on, wherever that might be. But for us, we just treat social as another media source, but it's quicker. It ticks around a lot, lot quicker. So we're always monitoring social media for whether it's mentions of our clients or just indeed what, you know, general opinion, et cetera, is perfect way of capturing that. But we do try and not get too involved in that opinion from social media because it's so fast moving. And it's very difficult to filter out whether it's trade or consumer at times. So it can get a little bit confusing on what's being said. So we kind of use it kind of a bit of a barometer of what's being said, or is there an opportunity for our clients where maybe we're not talking about a product or a service in a certain way and actually there's a need, you know, people are looking for somebody to supply whatever that might be. So we'll use it for that barometer, definitely. But yeah, social is great. You know, it's a great place to, like, you know, build your network. It's a great, like I say, it's a great place to kind of figure out what those trends and conversations are. I think probably the biggest thing I could say is that split between trade and consumer.
Yeah.
So a lot of the clients, you know, not necessarily our clients, but you see a lot of people using Instagram as a B2B network, and that's the place to be doing that overall. So it's, sometimes it's just it's that those aspects, but yeah, otherwise social absolutely is just part of the mix now. It's you know, it's normal to us as print is, as online is.
So it hasn't affected business, do you? I'm just wondering if some companies think, well, look, we can do our own social media, therefore why do we need PR? Because we've got all this content that can reach so many people.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it has. No, I wouldn't say it has. I think there are two things that have to sit alongside each other, because PR can be so much more in-depth than social media. And like I say, because the speed in which social media operates, it's so much quicker than, say, if we get an article printed in a magazine or you know, things like that. So no, I wouldn't say there's been any negative impact. Like I say, the two things sit alongside each other very well, actually.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned about innovation within the sector, within PR. And I was just wondering whether AI has had an effect on what you do as a business, and can you see that then having more of an effect in the future?
Yeah, I think everyone's got quite excited about AI recently. You know, of course they have. I think it's a blessing and a curse, to be honest. You know, I have moments sometimes where I think this is going to do me out of a job in 5 years' time. What AI doesn't have is it doesn't truly have market knowledge, because all it does is obviously draws from what's going on, you know, on the internet and can create what looks like quite a good article. And actually, do you know what? On the face of it, it probably is an okay article. It's probably better than most people would write an article. But it's very top line. And if you only want to do top line messaging, maybe one day this will be the final answer for everybody. But I think it absolutely lacks an understanding of what's going on in the marketplace. And if you truly want to be building strategic PR plans, then AI is certainly not going to be your friend. I think it's good for those afternoons where your brain isn't quite kicking into gear. You just need to sense check some of the things you've written or things like that. But we don't use it. We don't use it, number one, because we don't need to. Number two, we don't want to. And number three, most magazines and publications run it through an AI checker anyway. So they're looking for genuine content. So, like I say, blessing and a curse. I think I would urge people to, and I'm not just saying this because I want to keep myself in the job, but I'd urge people to certainly not start relying on it, because it is not fully comprehensive at all. Until it can think like a human and understand the marketplace, it's not going to be able to do what you need it to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought it was really interesting, your point there about magazines and publications running articles through a checker to see what, because they want sort of genuine new fresh articles. And so that's actually quite interesting, useful information for anybody who's thinking, oh, well, I'll just get Gen AI to write that for me. And
yeah, I mean, sometimes it does slip through the net. The only difficulty is with it is quite often, so if we're issuing a press release out to several magazine titles, you know, some might pick it up quicker than others. And by the time it's landed somewhere online, it is therefore not seen to be new content. Yeah. So then sometimes that then gets run through a kind of like a content updater, and then we see the press release and sort of go, the gist of it is there, but and there's a reason why we have to go through an approval process. So we use the tone of voice of our client, the key messages, etc. And you might think you're just, using, a dictionary and changing the words around a little bit, but actually what you can be losing quite a huge part of the key messaging and that personality of the client. And that's the bit that I find to be quite dangerous, because, I don't really want going into the marketplace a representation of my client that isn't the one they're prepared to put into the marketplace. So we have had a few moments with some editors where they've done that, and we've had to request that it gets taken down or they use the original content.
Right. Interesting. One thing I've noticed, Kimberly, is that PR seems to be very much a female orientated industry. Is that the case? And why do you think that is? I might be completely wrong, but I've only ever worked with women in PR agencies.
No, I think you're right. I have actually only ever worked with two male PR people.
Right.
I don't know. Actually, that's a great question. I don't know if it's are we writers more than men? I don't think so. Are we more creative? No. I think there's probably, for a very long time, there was a big perception around PR. If I'm truthful, I went into PR because I thought it'd be like absolutely fabulous.
I was just thinking.
It is not. I think there probably is just a general perception, PR is, and this whole notion of sort of champagne and, quaffing at lunchtime, and it's all,
freebies.
It's not that full. No, I get hardly any freebies, but it's certainly not that way at all. It's a lot of work. It's really, really hard work. And sometimes it can be a real, real slog. PR is traditionally one of those things that in a tough year, budgets have to be tightened. Mm-hmm. We're one of the first things that goes. Okay. Or our budgets get drastically reduced down, and then you're working on an absolute shoestring, and the expectation is still have to achieve kind of what you did before. So it's a really creative job. It's a very personable job. At times it can be very, very lonely. I spend most of my time sat at this desk on my own, we work from home. As a business, we have worked from home offices for, goodness me, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something like that. For a number of different reasons, but what the joy of that means that I can employ any talented person located anywhere in this country. Yeah. So all of my team are completely networked. So they're all based all in different places. And that's fantastic for me. I love being able to employ these people, because they're people I've known for a long time. So they've been editors on magazines and things like that. I've been able to pull them in as and when they've been in a position to take on a new role and build an agency around people. But it can be quite a lonely job, but it's brilliant though. Absolutely love it.
Thank you. So, Kimberly, you've talked about how much you love the industry, but do you actually enjoy gardening yourself? And there's no shame if you don't.
Yes, well, I do. My mum was a huge gardener, still is. In my informative years, it was just me following my mother around with a bucket, trying to be helpful and asking her what she was doing. And then I kind of had a couple of years where I didn't really particularly garden. I was just living my 20s or 30s. But a couple of years ago, me and my husband brought a house, which we've done up over the last couple of years. And we're very, very lucky. We've got a couple of acres. Literally, the people who had the house before us did not garden. There was nothing. We've got really mature trees, but there was no garden as such. Yeah. So we are literally at square one, trying to create a garden. So I'm a head gardener, I'm garden designer, I'm everything. Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, lovely. And do you have a plant that would always bring a smile to your face, no matter how you're feeling?
I do. Funny enough, I was talking about this with my team earlier, and I've decided sweet peas, because I've had a beautiful proper sweet peas this year, and they're really, really making me smile this year. But otherwise, it's hydrangeas, because I love a hydrangea. Okay. Whether they're in bloom or even when they're all dried, you can put them in really beautiful sort of festive displays. So yeah, those two are my picks. Yeah,
no, sweet peas, absolutely. And they do seem to be really good this year as well. I think they've enjoyed all the moisture. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I think that just about wraps things up. Just want to say thank you so much, Kimberly, for giving us your time this week. It's really interesting and insightful and to understand about a world which, you know, sometimes people have no idea what goes on in it. So it's really
interesting. It's been fascinating. Thank you. I think we need a PR agency, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking to you afterwards.
We'll be bombarding you at Glee. Thank you so much, Kimberly.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com.